Good morning. Good morning. Yes, this morning we're going to be talking about being conformed. Amen. Being conformed. As always, it's so glad to be with you all on this Sunday morning. Just want to officially say welcome to the House of Judah members, leadership. And I do want to take a moment for those of you who took the time to express your condolences, to express your concern, to express your prayers during this time of loss for us, for the House of Judah, for our ministry. We just want to say thank you for those who shared your condolences, shared your love, shared your prayers for the loss, or what we call the homegoing of Elder Mary Brazil, one of our very own founders. And so we just really appreciate all the love and support that was poured in during this time of our loss. So we love you. We thank you. We appreciate you for expressing that love and for expressing those condolences. Amen. We also want to say welcome to those of you who may be your first time tuning in to the House of Judah. My name is Apostle Jeremy Goldsmith. I am one of the teachers on the teaching team with the House of Judah. And we just want to officially welcome you to this broadcast, welcome you to this live message on today. And we pray and hope that you are blessed. If this is your, if you're returning, if you've been on here more than one time, we welcome you back to tuning into the House of Judah Sunday morning service. And we appreciate you being with us on this morning. Amen. I'm going to jump right into our lesson and our teaching, our sermon on today. And I'm really excited about this teaching. It is titled Conformed. Amen. We're going to be talking about what it means to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The last couple of weeks that I've taught, we've been talking about being transformed, and we've been talking about transitions. And I really want us to begin to focus on in the next couple of weeks, or the next several weeks, of this journey of being a Christian, this journey of being a kingdom citizen in the body of Christ. If you haven't figured it out already, this is not a sprint. If you haven't figured it out already, we are not trying to race each other to the finish line. We're not trying to race each other to the end goal, right? This is a race. You know, Paul said, run the race, finish your race, finish your course. But we're not trying to race each other. We're just trying to finish our own individual race, the purpose and the calling of God on our life. We're just trying to finish well for our own life. But we know that this is not a sprint. We know that the Christian journey is not one that happens overnight. Although we are born again in Christ, right? Even though being born again is an instant process or an instant moment that we have as a Christian, we know that being sanctified and being becoming holy and being conformed and transformed, it is a process. It is a lifelong process. And until the day we go and be with the Lord, until the day that we die, or until the day that Christ returns and takes us with him, we will always be on this journey of discipleship. We will always be on this journey of being transformed. We will always be on this journey of being conformed to the image of Christ. So I want you to take the pressure off of yourself today. Listen, you don't have to be perfect overnight. Listen, you don't have to have it all together overnight. I don't care if you are a new convert. I don't care if you have been in the faith for 20, 30 years. We are still all on this journey together. And we are constantly being conformed into the image of Christ. We're constantly being made into who Christ has called us to be. Amen. And we will continue on that journey until Christ returns. Amen. So I want to do a quick recap of what we talked about the last time we met. And again, that is transition requires transformation. Transition requires transformation. What we said is when God transitions you out of your old life, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, when you give your life to Jesus, we go through this process of coming out of, coming into, so that we can become. That means that God transitions us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his marvelous son, or what we call the kingdom of light. We transition out of the world and into the kingdom of God. We transition out of sin and we transition into salvation and sanctification. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But we are also transformed, or we begin this journey of being transformed or changed into who God has already created, called, and commissioned you to be. I want you to know that when you made the transition out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, you begin the journey of becoming who God has always intended and predestined you to be. Listen, there is a person that you have yet to meet, and that is called yourself, the person that God has created, called, and commissioned you to be. You see, this world conditioned us to be a certain way. This world conditioned us to be what was fitting and what was proper for the world. But God wants you to be conformed and transformed into who He has created, called, and commissioned you to be, even before the foundations of the world, even before the world was made into existence. God called you to be who He created and commissioned you to be. Amen. You know, we talked about Abram, and we talked about, and we used his life as an example of what it means to be called out, called into, to become. We used the life of Abraham to talk about what it means to be transitioned out of darkness and into his life and into the life that God has always called us to be in. And we talked about how Abraham had to transition out of his mother's and his father's house and out of the land of Ur. And not only to go to a place, not only to go to a physical place, but to become someone. God called Abraham out of his family, out of his country, not only so that he could go somewhere, but so that he could become someone that God had always intended Abraham to become. His transition required him to be transformed into not only Abram, but Abraham. You know, God had to give Abraham or Abram a new name. Why was that necessary? Why was that transition from Abram to Abraham necessary? And I'm going to tell you why. Because Abram, which means exalted father, was who he was known as. It is what his family, what his friends, what everyone was who was familiar with him. They knew him as Abram, who is exalted father. But God was calling him to be Abraham, who is the father of many nations, or the father of a multitude. And he gave Abraham this picture. And he said, if you can look up in the star, up in the sky, and if you can count the stars, that will be how much fruit I'm going to give you. He said, if you can look on the seashore and look at the sand and count the number of sands that are on the ground, he said, that will be the number by which I give you fruit, or I give you seed, or I give you children. He said, I'm going to make you fruitful, Abraham. He said, but it requires a transition and a transformation. In order for you to get all that I'm promising you, Abraham, in order for you to get all that I'm calling you to come into, in order for you to get this, all that what I am promising you, you're going to have to transition out from where you were and come into a covenant with me, or into a place with me, that will cause you to become all that I've created, called, and commissioned you to be. Amen. I'm getting excited about what God has in store for me, and what God has preserved for me, and what God has commissioned for me. Listen, I believe there are some things that God has preserved for me. I believe that there are some things that God has in store for me that I have yet to see. And the more I become who He has called me to be, the more I shall step into and grasp and take hold of the things that He has promised me. Listen, I am getting excited, and this is not even on my notes, but I am getting excited about who God has called, created, and commissioned you to be. Because as you continue on this journey, as you continue to be transitioned, as you continue to be transformed and conformed into who all God has called you to be, there are things that you didn't even pray for. There are things that you haven't even desired, that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even entered into your imagination, neither has it even entered into your heart, the things that God has in store for you. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there are some things that God wants to make available to you, but it requires you to come out of your old life and into the new life that He has called you to walk in. Amen. Listen, I'm getting excited this morning. I'm going to have to calm myself down just a little bit. But I am excited not only for myself and what God has in store for me, but I am excited about what God has in store for you. Listen, I don't care what happened in 2020. Listen, I don't really care what's happening in 2021. I don't care about what's going on around me. I don't care what the news is saying. I don't care what the media is saying. I don't care what the government is saying. I don't care what society is saying. I know that they're saying this is doom and gloom. I know that they're saying that we're going to a hopeful end. I know that they're saying that there's so much chaos in the world. And yes, there's chaos in the natural, but there is plenty and there is hope and there is a future in the spirit realm for you. Listen. We are not led by what goes on in this world. We are not conditioned and we don't have to settle for what's going on in this world because God still has a transformation and a confirmation plan for you. I'm going to say that again. I don't care what's going on in this world. And I want you to understand that you do not need to worry about what's going on in this world, what's going on in this earth. Yes, you must be concerned about the welfare your welfare in the earth. Yes, you must be concerned about the government, and yes, you must be concerned about society. Yes, you must be concerned about the things that are going on in the world. But my Bible says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are living in this world. We are living in this country. We are living in this physical realm, but we are citizens of a spiritual kingdom. We are citizens of a greater kingdom. We are citizens of a greater government, and we live not by sight, but we live by faith and we walk by faith, and we know and we believe that we have the victory in Jesus' name. Listen, I want you to know that as you continue to become all that God has created, called and commissioned you to be, this world cannot put parameters on you. This world cannot put boundaries on you. We serve a God that owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I don't care if the world is going through a recession. I don't care what's going on in society. I don't care what's going on in the stock market, because I know that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I am in Christ. Because I am in Christ, I shall share in his inheritance. I am an heir to the throne. I am a partaker in the blessings of Christ. I am a son of God, no longer just a citizen of this world. But I am a child of God who has been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, redeemed and called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Listen, I am excited this morning. And I don't know about you, but if you're in your living room, I don't care where you are, I need you to stand up on your feet, and I need you to stand up like you know who you are. I need you to stand up knowing that you have been called, created, commissioned, predestined, justified, glorified from the beginning of the world, before the world and the foundations of the world were laid. You were called and commissioned, and nothing can change your outcome but you. Nothing can change your outcome but you. Hallelujah. Come on, I need you to stand on your feet and I need you to say hallelujah. I need you to comment. I need you to say something because I'm feeling this in the spirit. I need you to shout. I need you to give me some hands. I need you to give me something because I know that the Spirit of God is speaking to somebody to let you know that don't worry about what's going on in this world. That if you would just keep your eyes on Christ, if you would just fix your face like flint, if you would just stay committed, and if you would just stay focused and continue to become all that God has created, called and commission you to be, if you would just stay on that path of faith, if you would just stand strong, if you would plant your feet, if you would just continue to walk in the ways that God has called you to walk in, if you would just continue to stay faithful, if you would just continue to keep your mind set on things above and not on things below, you shall see the glory of God. You shall see the manifestation of the Spirit of God. You shall see every promise, every purpose come to life. You shall see great exploits. You should not only see great exploits, but you shall do great exploits in the kingdom of God because you are focused on things that are above and not things that are below. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, give him a shout in your home, on Facebook, I don't care where you are, you need to let the expression come through, because as you say it out of your mouth, as you declare it out of your mouth, everything that I'm saying, it will be manifested in the natural. Hallelujah. Do you believe that on today? Do you believe that there's nothing in this world that can keep you from becoming all that God has created, called, and commissioned you to be? Listen, you are being conformed into the image of His Son. And I don't know about you, but Jesus, God's Son, did not lack anything. He did not miss anything. And because Christ did not lack anything, and because He's not missing anything, because there's not anything broken in Jesus, because there's not anything broken in Christ, you can also live a life that is nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. Do you believe that on the day? Listen, I don't know about you, but I am in Christ, and I believe that I can share in His inheritance. And because I share in His inheritance, there's nothing that I can't ask the Father that He won't give me according to His purpose and according to His will. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just had to get that out. I just had to get that out because I believe that with all of my heart on today, that if you would just set your eyes on things that are above and not on things that are below, you shall see the glory of God. You shall see the manifestations of God. Listen, it is time for us saints. It is time for the believers. It is time for the church. It is time for the body of Christ to rise up and take our rightful place in this world. Listen, we don't depend on this world. Listen, we don't depend on the government. Look, we don't depend on anything. Our source, our resource, everything that belongs to us comes from the kingdom of God. And we shall be that city that is set on a hill. And instead of going to the world for what we need, the world is going to begin to start coming to the church for what they need. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that we, the church, the body of Christ, has the solutions and the answers that the world is looking for. I don't believe that we have to go and seek the world for the answers. I don't think we have to go and seek the world for the solutions. Listen, we are spiritual beings, and we can tap into spiritual truths, and we can tap into spiritual secrets in the kingdom of God that will reveal things and that will give and that will share information that the world is seeking. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know that we, the believers, we, the kingdom of God, we, the church, we have the answers that the church, that the world is looking for. We have the solutions that the world is looking for. We don't have to sit on solutions. We don't have to sit on answers. We can invite those who are in the world to come into a greater government, to come into a greater life, a greater place, a greater connection, a greater authority in God, in Christ Jesus. We don't have to keep this thing a secret. We can invite those who are in turmoil. We can invite those who are struggling. We can invite those who are going through. We don't have to share in this world's turmoil. We don't have to share in this world's issues. We don't have to share in this world's plight. We can share the glory of God and the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with this world and give them a picture. Give them a picture of something they've never seen before. I believe that God is calling us to a place to where we reveal the glory of God to a dying world. Listen, the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word shall live forever. And as long as we have the word of God in our mouth and in our hearts, and written on the tablets of our heart and in our mind, and let it come out of our mouth, we can speak things into the earth and into the world that the world knows not of. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Listen, we talked about Jesus, and I want to get back on this path of talking about transition and transformation. And I want you to know that not only do you have to go through a transition and transformation process, but Jesus Himself had to go through a transition and transformation process. We talked about Jesus and how, although He was born in Nazareth, and although we know that He was Mary and Joseph's son, and we know that he was the carpenter's son, and he went by all these different names. We know that there came a time and there came a point in his life where he came before John the Baptist, and it said that as he was being baptized, it said that there came a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And it said that he had the confirmation of the Holy Spirit that descended on him like a dove. And it said at that moment, he was no longer known as Joseph and Mary's son or just the carpenter's son, but he had stepped into his very purpose. He had stepped into the very call on his life so that he could be what he needed to be for the world and not just what he had been for Nazareth. But we talked about how as he went back to Nazareth and as he went back to his hometown, he was not accepted. And the Bible even says that he could not do many mighty works in Nazareth because they were too familiar with who he was. And so he could not do many mighty works there because they were too familiar with who he was and who he had been. And so on this journey of your Christian life, as you continue to become all who God has created and called and commissioned you to be, I don't want you to be thrown off by the fact that not everybody is going to accept the new you. Not everybody is going to embrace the new you. Not everybody is going to understand the new you because they've seen you in the world for so long. Now that you're in Christ, now that you're in Jesus, now that you have been born again and being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you're going to show up different. You're going to talk different. You're going to walk different. You're going to have a different mind. You're going to have different desires. And so you're not going to look like and sound like and walk like you used to. Because you're becoming all that God has created and commissioned you to be from the foundations of the world. Listen, the fact is you don't even know who you're becoming. You don't even know who God has called you to be until you continue to walk on that path of the path that he's put you on to be conformed. It says that when he left Nazareth, that he was able to do many mighty works. And I wanted to share that with you today because I don't want you to be discouraged, and I don't want you to spend your life, and I don't want you to spend too much time trying to prove to others who God is creating you and calling you to be. I don't want you to spend too much time in Nazareth trying to prove who you are. I want you to go to the place that God is sending you, because there is a place and there is people that God has called you to, and it may not be the familiar place from where you come from. Listen, we are sent ones. The Bible says that the church, that the body of Christ, we are apostolic. We are sent ones. That means we are going to a place that God is sending us. Listen, I want you to know that every believer, every Christian, every person that is in Christ has a people. You have a people that God is sending you to. There are people that are waiting on your voice. There are people who are waiting for you to be conformed, transformed into who God has called you to be, so that they can receive the benefits and the blessings by which God has filtered through you. So don't spend too much time of your life. Don't spend too much of your time trying to prove who you are to Nazareth. I want you to set your eyes and set your focus on who the people that God is sending you to, because who God is sending you to has ears to hear what you are saying. Who God is sending you to has ears to hear what God is saying through you. So set your eyes on the path and on the people that God is sending you to. And we also talked about Peter, how sometimes God has to change your name. And in some cases in the church or in the body of Christ or in the kingdom of God, that means as a minister, as a leader, that sometimes that means that God may even change your title. It may mean that God changes your profession. It may mean that God changes your education. Sometimes God changes your identity. Well, he changes our identity when we're saved. We become born again. We become new spiritual beings. But even in the natural, sometimes God will change your occupation. Sometimes he would change your education. He changed my degree plan when I was in college. He switched up my degree and switched up my major, not because I was focused on what I wanted to do. And he wanted me to set my focus on who he wanted me to become. And my education was a huge part of who I should become for God. So sometimes God will change your occupation. Sometimes he will change your education. Sometimes even in ministry, he will change your title. And sometimes people have a hard time with that because they don't understand that it's not about the title. It's not about the position, but it's all about who God has created, called, and commissioned you to be from the foundations of the world. And we see that when Jesus was having a conversation with Peter, he asked Peter an important question. He said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're the prophet. Some say that you're Isaiah. Some say this. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And the Bible says that Peter responded to Jesus and told him, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. He said, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You did not figure this out on your own, and nobody told you this. He said, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed this to you by the Spirit. And he said, now that you know who I am, he said, now I can tell you who you are. Listen, the more you learn about who Jesus is, the more you find out about who Jesus is, the more you connect with Christ and get to know him, the more you get to know yourself. I want you to know that the more you find out who Jesus is, the more he reveals to you about who you are. If you can only find out who Jesus is, you'll find out who you are. Because you have been created in the image of his Son. You have been born again to be conformed to the image of his Son. So as you find out who Jesus is, you find out who you are. It's hard to find out who you are apart from Christ when you have been identified and born again and not only died with Christ, but you have been raised up with Christ. That's what the Bible says. It's hard to find out who you are if you're not finding out who Jesus is. Listen, I'm going to say that again, and I need somebody to type that in the chat. It's hard to find out who you are when you haven't figured out who Jesus is. The more you find out who Jesus is, the more you find out who you are. When Peter found out and discovered who Jesus was, the Bible says that Jesus says, now let me tell you who you are. He said, I'm going to change your name, Simon. You're no longer going to be known as Simon, but you're going to be known as Peter. Simon meant reed or a reed, which is easily blown about by every wind of doctrine, a reed is easily blown about by the wind. Anything can change its mind. Anything can change its identity. Anything can change its movement. But it says that Peter, you are now no longer Simon reed, but he said you are Peter, which is rock solid, hard to be moved, hard to be shaken, hard to be moved and transition, hard to be blown about. He said, I'm making you solid. I'm making you concrete. I'm making you a foundation of the church. And so as you find out more about who Jesus is, you become less influenced and less blown about by the wind of the world. And you become more solid in your own identity and who God has created, called, and commissioned you to be. And not only did when Peter find out who Jesus was, did he find out who he was, but he also was given authority. The Bible says that Jesus says, and now that you know who you are, he says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Why is this important as it pertains to you conforming and being conformed to the image of Christ and to who God has called you to be? It's important because until you get your eyes focused on being conformed into Christ, you cannot walk in the authority that Christ has given you. You will never be able to walk in kingdom authority if you do not continue on this journey of being conformed into the image of his Son. So you can't just want to share in his blessings, but you can also share in his authority. Christ has given us delegated authority here in the earth. He has given us delegated authority here in the earth. And the more you find out who Christ is and the more you're conformed to the image of Christ, the greater you will walk in the authority that he has given you. This is why Jesus said to the disciples, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Why did Jesus say this? He said, as my Holy Spirit is poured out on you, and as you receive the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, He said, you're going to do the same works that I do. He said, but because there's more of you, there's more than one of me, there's more of you in the earth who are walking around with my spirit. He said, you're going to be able to do greater things than which I did in my 3.5 years of ministry. He said, I have thousands of you now walking on the earth, walking in my spirit, walking in the spirit of Christ, walking in the Holy Spirit, walking in the authority of Christ. He said, you're going to be able to do greater things than what I did within those 3.5 years of ministry here on the earth. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting to know that you can not only walk in the fruit of the Spirit in the characteristics of Christ, but you can also walk in the power of Christ? That is what he has called us to do. He's given us dominion. He's given us authority. He said, all power has been given unto me. He said, therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he has given us delegated authority and the right to walk in that authority and to exercise that authority here in the earth. But it's all connected to you transitioning out of the old into the new, being transformed into who he has called you to be by the renewing of your mind, changing your mind, and being conformed into the image of his son. Amen. I'm about to wrap it up, but I want to leave you with a couple of things here. Number one, although you have many purposes, you have been created for God's purpose. Amen. We talked about this in our purpose sermon, that sometimes we get so focused on trying to reach this one defined place of purpose that we fail to understand that we have many purposes in life that lead to God's main purpose for our life. God's ultimate purpose for us is not only salvation. God is not just concerned about you being saved or having fire insurance or escaping hell. But he has called us to regeneration, which means we're born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You'll no longer live under the power of your old life. The old man is dead. Behold, you are a new spiritual being in Christ. Regeneration. But he has also called you to sanctification. And this doesn't mean that you don't have any mistakes or that you won't ever mess up. But what sanctification is, it's the process of being made holy, which is set apart. He not only called you to salvation, he not only made you born again, but he has called you to be set apart for his specific use. He wants to use you specifically for what he has called, created, and commissioned you to do. So he sets you apart. You no longer belong to the world. For you were bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. And now he has a specific assignment for you. And so he sanctifies you or separates you and sets you aside for that specific purpose. Everything that's about you, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, even your physical body becomes a tool for God. Even your mouth becomes a tool for God. But he also calls you to transformation, which means changing the way you think. You can no longer think like the way you used to think. By reading the word of God, you find out how you should think. Amen. But most of all, he has called us to, again, conformation. I know that I'm not saying confirmation. I'm saying conformation, which means being conformed to the image of a son. It's all about sonship. Listen, God had this plan from the beginning of the world that he would have many sons and daughters. Really, that if you just want to boil it down to one thing, from the beginning of the world, God just wanted to have more kids. He wanted to expand his family. He wanted more than one son, and he wanted you to be a son. He wanted you to be a daughter. And so this whole plan, this whole purpose is all about you becoming a child of God, you becoming sons and daughters in his kingdom. Amen. And as sons and daughters, you not only have kingdom citizen rights, but you have an inheritance that is passed down to you. Amen. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind through the reading of the word of God. But we are conformed by the inner working of the Holy Spirit. So we are not changing ourselves. The Bible says it is the Holy Spirit that works in us the will to do God's will. I'm going to say that again. It is the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, the Spirit of Christ that lives on the inside of us, that gives us the ability and works in us the will to do his will. So as you are on this journey of conformation, being conformed into the image of Christ, I don't want you to think that you're doing this in your own flesh. Paul said to, I think it's to the Corinthian or to the Ephesian church, he said, begin as you have begun in the spirit. He says, are you being made perfect in the flesh? He said, God forbid. He said, this is not you doing this within yourself. He said, you began in the spirit, continue on in the spirit. Let the spirit of Christ work on the inside of you, work out of you what needs to be worked out, and work into you what needs to be worked in. We are responsible for doing the daily repentance or the daily changing of our mind by the renewing of our mind through the word of God. So we are responsible for reading our Bible and changing our thought process about life. But the Holy Spirit is responsible for renewing us and helping us demonstrate the new thought process. He is responsible for helping us live holy and to walk in the Spirit of God. I've always said it like this. It's hard to live holy without the Holy Spirit. It's true. It's hard to live holy without the Holy Spirit because it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us and enables us to live the life that Christ has purposed us to live, that God has created, called, and commissioned us to live. You cannot do this within your own flesh. It is the Holy Spirit inside of you that causes you to live a holy life. Amen. And since the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, according to Romans 8 and 9, it is the Holy Spirit who conforms us to the image of Christ. And how do we now? Here's the question. How do we know if we are truly experiencing this transformation and process of being conformed? How do we know when we are on the right path? How do we know we are being conformed into the image of Jesus, into his son? Well, here's the answer. The more you demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, temperance, patience, the more you demonstrate these characteristics of Christ, the more you can say that you are being conformed into the image of Christ. You're being conformed into his likeness. Now, doesn't mean you're going to do these things perfect overnight. But when you find yourself loving people more, when you find yourself loving people that the world has a hard time loving, when you find yourself being patient in situations where you typically or normally wouldn't be patient, when you find yourself being more gentle with your words, you're more careful with what you say, when you find yourself being more giving, willing to do more for people they cannot do for themselves, when you find yourself being less selfish and more selfless, then you can say that, yes, I can see the Holy Spirit working in me. Amen. And I can see myself being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. When we walk in the fruit of the Spirit on a greater level, this is evidence that we are being conformed into the image of Christ. These are the characteristics of Christ. But I want to leave you with this. There's coming a day. That even being conformed into the image of Christ through the fruit of the Spirit is not enough. The Bible says that there's going to come a day, and this is in 1 John 3 and 2, that when Christ returns, that we shall be made like him. That means that we shall have a glorified body like him. This old shell is going to pass away, and where we shall be transformed into his new image, which is the glorified body. It says that we will have a body like his and a garment like his, and we will share in his inheritance. Listen, Miss Elder Mary Brazil has already beat us there. She already has stepped into her new glorified body. Amen. So I want to encourage the family at this time to let you know that although she was, while she was here in the earth, she was constantly being conformed into the image of God's Son by the Spirit, she is now in the presence of God and has been fully transformed into the image of Christ. And she has a glorified body. Amen. So I just want to encourage the family, encourage you all to keep your focus on being transformed and conformed into everything that God has created, called, and commissioned you to be. The Bible says that you were predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. That means it is possible. You have the ability to do it through the working of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you say, well, Jeremy, I'm not in Christ. I don't have this relationship with Christ. So I'm not on this path of being conformed. Well, I want you to know today that you can cross over. You can begin that transit. You can make that transition and begin this process of transformation on today. The Bible says that we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And it says that, but because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, that the wages of sin is death. But we know that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn you and not to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. And if you are watching today and you don't have this relationship with Jesus, if you're not on this journey of being transformed and conformed, then I want to invite you to that, to join in this relationship today. The Bible says that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. And once you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it says that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. You become a new spiritual being. You are born again in Christ. You are a new spiritual being. Amen. And now you are on this process. Now you can begin this process of being transformed and conformed. Amen. So I bless you on today. I hope and pray that you have enjoyed this lesson. And until next time, take care. Have a great Sunday. God bless you.